The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. We're on Man in Line, open line today through till 1. So call 66 13 68. Put yourself on the air. Text 166 177. WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. And the choice is yours. Whatever you want to talk about, then dig in. There was talk yesterday about this number 28 bus and what's going to happen with it to Craig Neish. And I got a message in from John who just said, have you got figures about how many buses were used and how many people use the buses? Well, there was a Freedom of Information request regarding this, but unfortunately, ever since that little faux pas over showing people's data, the system's offline, so we couldn't get... However, I will tell you, figures obtained from the Department of Infrastructure in response to the request shows that they say the route's no longer viable. The number 28 bus has come under the spotlight of Tynwald, and the request for this FOI really sort of breakdown of ticket types, including concessions, prepaid tickets, and the cost of running the service per journey per day. It also asked the schedule relating to the number of buses, times of buses, and days on which they ran. In its answer, the DOI said 256 fare-paying passengers were carried in 2023, compared with 909 in 2019. Well, of course, that was pre-COVID. In relation to prepaid tickets, the 29 figure was 1,867, which dropped to 469 in 2023. In almost all ticket categories, the figures have declined over the 4 years under review. As I say, that's just the pricey of the FOI, which unfortunately is offline at the moment. But the figures were going down, and I suppose you have to decide, what do you do? Do you say if the figures are going down, well, forget it, it's going to die anyway, so we won't bother doing anything? Or do you attempt to do something to grow the figures? Bearing in mind we're talking about Craig Neish, not, you know, some tinpot little place that isn't much of a tourist attraction. This is iconic. It's the folk village on the Isle of Man, and it's the view of the Calf. So... anyway, if you've got any thoughts, by all means do. Howard's first with us today. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just looking at your website on the news, etc., and a couple of others, Alf Cannon, our Chief Minister,
yeah,
he has now in the process of signing a memorandum with the Liverpool government, the Liverpool, the Merseyside area, yeah, shall we say. But one of the words that worried me on that was governance. Now, the Isle of Man can only lose its governance because it is a self-governing area. And the only way you can lose that is by bad policy and, well, riots, all sorts of bits and pieces like that. And that can only be taken away through the UK Parliament, not through handing it over. This sounds an awful like Keir Starmer and his cronies giving away the Chagos Islands, and then we have to pay for it. Oh, well, we don't. The UK will.
Yeah, I mean, Julie Edge has been getting very excited about all this, and Mr. Cannon seems to be pouring cold water on it, doesn't he?
Well, he does. This is his way of working. And the public are not told anything about this, but Julie Edge, and she'd normally want to have a go at something like this, has had a look at the paperwork and what... And if you sign this governance, this memorandum, then that ties us into Merseyside, and we're rapidly, and I mean rapidly, losing our Manxness and our independence. And how many people within the civil service have been pushing for this? And as I say, Alf Cannon used to be head of the senior service, civil service, not senior service, my apologies, the civil service for many years. So what is in his mind? Why is he selling the Isle of Man down the river and not telling the people of the island? Now, I'm Manx, born and bred. And, well, I'm worried about this because we will then become under whatever council or whatever government, Labour, Conservatives, Greens, whatever colour you want to be, of Merseyside.
Yeah. He kind of stresses the fact that there are no plans to combine any of the Isle of Man's public services with those in Liverpool. This is basically an opportunity for cooperation between Liverpool and the Isle of Man, but doesn't say what sort of cooperation.
Exactly. But this memorandum, that is a serious piece of paperwork. And when you start doing tricks like that, those people over there have got very clever lawyers, and they'll run circles around the ones that are in our parliament. We are a little more than a, well, I say a village, village to them, and we incorporated into Liverpool area. And there's a serious amount of money here. What we've got to watch is our health care, our pensions, everything. And the minute you get tied into another country, you'll have to abide by their rules, because they are a bigger one, and they bully. And the Isle of Man, all my life, and since, what, 797 or something like that, has been an independent island. And they boast about our oldest government in the world.
Yeah.
And here they are, the chief minister of all people, who should be up there fighting sword in hand against this. And he's the one that's leading the charge.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just wonder, as far as Liverpool's concerned, what's in it for them? What do they get out of it?
They're not doing this for nothing. And Liverpool, at the moment, well, I don't know how much money they've got in the kitty, but that is subject to the UK government. Our money, which is what we've earned, we can't print any money, we can't, we got to buy it. So it's what we've earned on the island here, and our monies then will be going into a melting pot and disappearing. We would then become a poor relative of Merseyside. And this is what the people on the Isle of Man, both Manx and people who've come to live here on the island, should be very afraid of what this man is trying to do. I would love to hear from somebody who is more knowledgeable than me.
And that would
be hard to find.
Yeah, well, no, it would be nice to hear an official word. I mean, Mr. Cannon was quite sort of terse. He was quite brief in his dismissal of this and said it's nothing to do, you know, nothing to see here, move along. But I'm just interested when you say, Howard, that the Isle of Man is losing its Manxness. What sort of Manxness do you mean?
Well, we are an island, and we've always had people coming from various parts of the world.
Yeah.
It used to be a regular thing when we had a tourist industry. Staff used to come in from Scotland, Ireland, Southern Ireland, and they would swell the numbers here. But nowadays, with the international migration,
yeah,
they're coming from all over the world. I go into Strand Street, and I remark to my wife on Monday, you hardly hear a Manx voice.
It's interesting.
You hear an English voice these days.
I was in a supermarket the other day, and there were a couple with a child who looked, I mean, they looked very Manx, to be quite honest, and suddenly it was an Eastern European tongue that came out, which, again, that's absolutely fine, because, let's face it, Manx people have gone all over the world forever, haven't they?
Oh, yes.
Manx people have gone everywhere, so and we benefit from having different cultures and different people, and that goes the other way. In fact, a relative of mine, his grandmother left the Isle of Man via Liverpool just after the First World War, when they were advertising you could do that.
Well, remember the £10 journey to...
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people from the UK and the Isle of Man went to Australia. My mother and father, when I was only small at the time, only young, they were talking about doing this and going to Australia. And there'd be a few people listening to this programme now and saying, I wish the hell he had. But that was a £10 journey, and a lot of people went to Australia and made lives there, good lives.
Yeah.
But You've got to have some sort of control of it.
Yeah. Well, just tell me, Howard, do you think that Manxness then, do you think that's something that the government can impose and make, or does that come from people and cultural events and the way that we do things? Which, I mean, there's the thing in sociology, I don't want to quote sociology, but it says people push up and systems push down. So
yes.
How do we maintain our Manxness?
Extremely difficult, because people are going to come in. There is no legislation here on the island saying you can't come in. It's always been, and even advertised, you don't have to have, like Jersey did at one time, you had to have X number of pounds, and there was a waiting list to go to Jersey to come in, and you had to, you know, you had to be fairly rich to be able to be accommodated there. There was none of that here. But by the same token, Manxness is down to, as you say, the people of the island. And, well, I was doing my usual stint on Monday up there, the camera obscura, and there was a lady and her son came down, and she said she'd moved over to here, she was an accountant, and she was working in accountancy, but I think she said she was from Slovenia. But she'd been in Manchester living, and she said, this place is lovely. She says, people talk to you. She says, you never got that in Manchester. People walk past you as though you're invisible. Here, they talk to you. And I said to her, well, that's only because we're nosy. But that's how you find out things and how you, you know, you become part of an area.
And long may it continue, Howard.
Yes, yes. I worry that the generation is coming up now. They'll be standing talking to each other through their phones.
Yeah.
We're going to have a generation of worn-out fingers and no vocal cords. But that, going back to that, what we were talking about, that memorandum of, you know, understanding, it's a dangerous piece of legislation going through.
Okay.
And to reverse it would be virtually impossible. And that way, once the tendrils are in from Merseyside, and we all know what happened a number of years ago with the likes of Derek Hatton and a few of the others, this is ripe for picking, the Isle of Man. The apples are ready to fall. They're ripe, and that's what Merseyside could do. No harm to them. We've always had Mersey Scouts, as we call them. They've always been on the island, and they've got a great sense of humour, but it's the people that climb up to the top of the tree that do the damage.
Okay. All right, Howard, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Take care. Bye now.
19 minutes past 12. Julie Edge, the Onkin MHK, has queried the expansion of this agreement. The government denies there are any plans to merge public services. Previous agreements have focused mainly on cultural and economic links, but there is a memorandum of understanding between the Isle of Man and Liverpool. And this is particularly in support of business, which relates to public services and governance. Now, Julie Edge says this raises important questions about the Isle of Man's political autonomy. She tabled questions in Keys and said she's yet to see the clear benefits from the earlier memorandum and questioned the drive towards broadening areas of cooperation. She acknowledged that the Isle of Man's got long-standing cultural ties and strong connectivity with Liverpool. Well, crikey, we tie the boat up there, as well as the existing partnerships in things like healthcare. Obviously, we use Liverpool hospitals for patient transfer. But she argued that expansion into governance, education or public services needs public careful scrutiny. Mr. Cannon, the Chief Minister, published the full wording of the agreement and stressed no plans to combine any of the Isle of Man's public services with those in Liverpool. He said the MOU simply outlines opportunities for cooperation between the Isle of Man and Liverpool. It was signed earlier on this month at a ceremony at the Liverpool Ferry Terminal. Let's get to Brenda with us now. Hi, Brenda.
Yes, hello. I heard the other day somebody saying that they had only just received an Easter card.
Yes.
That was about 2 days ago. Yes,
yes it was.
Well, I can outdo that. I received two yesterday.
When were they posted?
Well, I can't clearly see the postmark, but they were Easter cards, so presumably...
Before Easter.
Before Easter. And they arrived on the 29th. One was from Manchester, which had a first-class stamp on, and the other was from Formby, Merseyside. which had a second class stamp on.
Right, so this is well over, almost 2 weeks, well over 10 days then.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's...
So it's quite incredible. So I would like to say to everybody, if you're thinking of sending Christmas cards this year, go out and get them and send them in September if you want them to get there by Christmas.
It seems bizarre, doesn't it, that we used to rely on the post. We used to, you know, things used to get there in, when we had the airmail, they used to get there in a day. But now it just seems like it's difficult to rely on it.
Yes, I did have something which arrived in a day this week, but it was on the island.
Right, well, that, yeah, that's...
And that arrived the next day.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Okay. All right, well, anyway, happy Easter anyway, Brenda.
Well, yes, I don't know whether it's this Easter or next Easter now.
Okay. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you. Okay. Bye now.
All right. It's interesting, isn't it, that some of the couriers can get here the next day. It's just that the post office isn't, well, obviously not 100% with Brenda. Here's Juan now. Hi, Juan.
And how are you, Andy?
Very well today. It's just the day to be inside.
Well, you make use of that air conditioning. We've paid a lot for it. Make sure you get the use out of that air conditioning. I'm just listening to Howard and what he's saying there from a person who's lived here all his life. And, when you always come home to the Isle of Man and you always see the island coming closer when you're on the boat or you're flying over and you're looking there, you're looking at the island and you're loving being back home. And this time coming back home, I'm thinking, you know what? Oh, excuse me. I was trying to do two things at once and I dropped the phone. You know what? We've got a fight on our hands this time coming home, I think. And listening to Howard talking there, yeah, I think we have. And they used to look there at all the things on the island, and this time I'm looking at the guy in front of me reading a book on British Islam and English law. And then I go down to Tesco, and there at point of sale there's nice coats with Chevenish and Ahmad on as the names. And I'm thinking, yeah, our culture is definitely changing, isn't it? So just a couple of housekeeping points there. The guy who was falling asleep when he was listening to me a few weeks ago, I couldn't be bothered phoning back in, to be honest, stopped off in Manchester. I've got a few pillows made from my Asian friends there for him. We've got man in line on the side so he doesn't get a creak in his neck when he's listening to me, because I'm going to be on a little bit more now I'm home. So we've got some man in line pillows for the people who get fed up with the conspiracy theories. How's about that, Andy?
Okay.
Now then, you sounded very interested on Monday with Julian talking about sun dimming. You actually sounded astounded that it was happening.
Sun dimming?
That's what you said.
How is that going to affect solar panels?
Well, you see, this is my point here, and I'm going to quote you on a dying statement from when I was on a few weeks ago. Anyone that follows chemtrails, stop well. Well, here's the point here. I've been following this for years now. Now, this statement was made by the Gates Foundation 2-3 years ago that they were going to do this. And if you follow this stuff, you'll know that this has been out there for a long time. I would imagine that they're hastily trying to do this now because the internet is so full of this stuff now. And if your algorithms are set to trust the government, you'll never see them, Andy. So maybe adjust your algorithms and you'll see it a bit more. This has been happening for a long time. And hence my questions to Alf Cannon and to Claire Barber about the future of our agriculture and what's in our skies. Because I've seen this happening. And if I ask the question, in my mind, they know about it. If they don't react on it, they're not doing their job. So in my mind, they're not doing their job. I asked Claire Barber about the future of agriculture many, many, many times. How do you think that this sun dimming is going to affect agriculture? How is it going to affect the health of people? Because we need vitamin C. The most important thing is what we're getting from the sun's rays. And these power mad people are doing this. And everyone that's called me a conspiracy theorist and all the other people that followed this for so long is now finding out the truth of what these people are doing. And it's crazy. And we've got people in government who give me answers like, well, go and ask a pilot or go and ask someone who's up on aircrafts. And this is why I ask these questions, and I persistently ask these questions, because now it's factual, Andy.
So what is it? I mean, you've talked about chemtrails many, many times about this, and has anybody ever said what chemicals they're supposed to be putting in to airline fuel to dissipate in the upper atmosphere 30,000 feet up? What sort of chemicals are they putting in, and what are these chemicals supposed to be doing?
Well, to be honest, I'm not going to go into this in a short subject, because it's not going to do what I'm going to talk about any favours. I need a longer time to talk about it. And we'll have Bonsai on in a minute, calling me a conspiracy theorist and a misogynist and a Trump lover. So you're talking about aluminiums and graphene oxide, for one, and aluminiums Julian talked about on Monday. But I'm looking here now at Onchan, and I'm sure you can see out the window, and quite clearly, they're not contrails. Quite clearly they're not contrails, because they're morphing into what I've said for a long, long time. And this has been going on for a long, long time.
Right.
And my question is, where is this heading with our farming?
Okay.
And if you connect the dots and you look at the end picture, you know where the game is. To know the game, you have to know the end. And you've got people like Gates, who now own 40% of agricultural land in America. Him and Larry Fink have just had a meeting with Starmer about 4 weeks ago, and then all of a sudden they announced this. And now there's an announcement of them purchasing farmland, and a massive big conglomerate with BlackRock to purchase farmland within the UK. So we know where this is heading, and this is why I've always said the Isle of Man doesn't need to follow anyone else. And going on with what Howard said there about Manxness, you know, the Isle of Man must have spent a fortune on a tagline years ago of look forward to looking back. And you imagine so many people who are fed up of what's happening in the UK would want to come and live here. People who actually want to invest on our island and the way that we live. And that's the type of people that we want here. Not the colour of their skin or anything to do with that. People who embrace the Isle of Man for what it is. And that's what we want here to go forward with. And that kind of connects me up to my last point, which is what Alistair Ramsay said. And I've spoken about Alistair Ramsay a few times in this programme, a man who's been inside government from the publicity side and who knows what's happening. And if people like this are saying that the system is broken, the system's broken. There's too much power. They're listening to embedded civil servants. And again, there's a lot of civil servants there who are good working people who work for the benefit of the island, but there's a lot there that are not. And I think the system is definitely broken. And I think we're at a time now, a turning point. We've got to do something to make sure that the island is on the right track.
Okay.
Totally agree with what Howard's saying.
Okay. I've got millions of messages to get to, but nice to have you back, Juan, and thanks for your opinion today. Good to hear from
you. Take care, Andy.
29 minutes past 12. Excellent point from Howard today, and I agree 100% with him. Danger signals should be flashing for the government. We don't want to be tied into something that might affect our independence. I'm totally against this possible time. Well, we're in it now, Ian, I'm sorry to say, as far as you're concerned, that we've signed this memorandum of understanding. But Mr. Cannon says nothing, no plan to combine any of the Isle of Man's public services with Liverpool. Here's Betty now. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Andy. I agree with Howard and I agree with Joan. And I'm a Scouser.
You've lost the accent, Betty.
Well, not everybody has a thick accent, actually, in Liverpool. Anyway, I think with this thing that the Chief Minister has agreed to, we should be afraid. We should be very afraid. That's what I think. Things can start off in a perfectly innocent, okay way, and they change.
Okay. So whereabouts in Liverpool were you from, Betty?
Oh, I'm from Walton, actually, next over one to Everton's old football ground.
Oh, my word. Okay. Right. Well, good to hear from you, Betty. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Alex said, Andy, why has the Millennium Way signage been redone in blue and white instead of the iconic red and yellow? And Ian said, Andy, look, all bus services run at a loss. It's just a case of which service has the biggest loss. This is why bus vanning is subsidised to the tune of £7 million a year. Very good point, Ian. And Margaret tells me the bus service to Craigneish and the Sound, latterly the bus when it ran, didn't schedule with the trains and buses. It wasn't always advertised properly. Well, this is what we were talking about yesterday, synchronising the timetable. So if people do want to, and surely computers can do this, can't they? Synchronise the timetable so that when people do want to go to Craigneish and the Sound on the public bus, they can. And obviously, it's like running a car. If you want to save money running a car, yes, don't lubricate the wheels. You'll save on lubricant. But of course, in the end, the wheels will seize up. It's easy to save money. You just don't do it. But really, the bus company is in the business of taking people to places. Now, if only a few people want to go, is that the passenger's fault? On the positive side, the missing Baldrian tram stop sign has been reinstated, says Jane. There was a comment yesterday, says Francini, on how clean and tidy Laxey and Lonnon looked. Well, I beg to differ. Just look at the eyesore that greets you outside the commissioner's office. The abandoned farm opposite the Doon School, the old crunk Cardle Chapel, looks like a scrapyard gone wrong. This is Francini's opinion. And the public toilets on Laxey Harbour Quayside haven't been cleaned for months. Actually, I did spot that, yes. I hope the uncontested elected commissioners are listening and maybe they should get their eyes sorted. Manxness comes from Manx people. It's very simple, says Mark. Where were the so-called friends in Liverpool when it came to paying for half of the Liverpool dock? They kept quiet, says Dan. Let's get to the lines again. Here's Dave with us. Hi, Dave.
Dave with us. Hi, Dave.
Afternoon, Andy. How are you?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Turn your phone off.
Keep going.
Have you turned it off?
I don't know. What am I turning off?
So we're getting some feedback. We're getting me coming back down the phone, and that's never a good sound. Julian's with us then. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Just a quick follow-up. If they do actually do this sun dimming, they'll be using sulfur dioxide and nanomized aluminium oxide, which is tiny, which is why it's never detected as a pollutant, because it's below the P2.5 limit of the detectors. But if anybody's got asthma or chronic bronchitis, you might want to have some extra steroidal inhalers to hand when that stuff comes down, because quite an irritant. A lot of people had problems when the Icelandic volcano started pouring stuff over Europe as well some years ago.
Sulfur dioxide is the stuff that they wanted cars to stop emitting, wasn't it?
Yeah. Funny, isn't it? Doesn't make any sense, especially when you say about solar panels. Speaking of which, this morning's Manx Radio News article titled Manx Utilities Assures Resilience Amid European Power Outages and the Island's Power Systems Are Designed to Withstand Failures. Well, I agree with that. And why is that? Why are we resilient? Because we've got a properly sized gas turbine that produces power all the time, not weather dependent, and massive turning parts that provide stable electricity, plenty of inertia to cover the spikes and the troughs in electricity. And I remember at a government conference last year, Lizzie Riley from the MUA said that the Isle of Man power station has proved to be the most reliable system in Europe. So you've got to ask the question, why would we want to change from that? And as an add-on to what I said yesterday, El Mundo, the Spanish news agency, reported that Repsol, their Cartagena oil refinery, 6 days before the power station, the power outage, they had to issue a force majeure to stop oil production because of major electrical fluctuations. On the same day, there was major train disruptions between Castilla-León and Asturias in the north of Spain. Again, they called it electrical frequency fluctuations.
Yeah.
There's talk now that the solar generation has surpassed demand. Now, ordinarily with a wind turbine, you stop it turning, but it's not quite so easy. You can't really throw a cloth over thousands of acres of solar panels. But it's interesting that this inertia thing with the big things turning, producing that smoothing effect on the power, the synthetic systems that are trying to be instituted now, not only have they never been tested in any world network that's got high renewable penetration in the system, but when you look at the prices, you know, we often talk about that 28.5p for our electrical kilowatt hour priced on our bills. Battery electric systems per unit installed is £500. And these systems cost, there's one in Australia, it's just cost £65 million, and it would only run the island for an hour and a half. So, and they're trying to use this as some sort of smoothing as well. You've also got synchronous condensers, $50 for every kilowatt hour. So if you think about, part of the reason I think why they've got a problem is the hideous cost of installing all this synthetic inertia systems to get rid of what we have for free with these massive great rotors turning in all the power stations. And it seems to be a bit of a design cul-de-sac, because all they talk about is putting more and more wind turbines in, more and more solar panels. We've already got a bottleneck up in Scotland, which means that's why they're spending $60 billion over the next 5 years in England on wiring past that. And then you've got another $500 billion on distribution to every house and flat. But this will be never-ending, won't it, Andy? Because, you know, there's a much shorter lifespan on those solar, you know, the wind and the solar compared to a power station. So you'll be forever putting new ones up and replacing the old ones.
Well, we have to rely on Manx Utilities then, don't we, Julian? Presumably they've got clever people at Manx Utilities who know how to maintain supply to the Isle of Man. That's why we pay them.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, there's talk. They talk about net zero. Well, the only way to do that is to get rid of our power station. And, you know, when you look at the CareVi documents and the MUA documents about this, they all talk about reliance on a new big interconnector at somewhere around 350 million to England. But England's going as fast as it can to go to these renewables. So if we're seeing these problems, I mean, you know, this is 6 days before you had a major train disruption. You've got Repsol's oil refinery. They had to sign a force majeure letter to cancel oil production because the power was all over the place. So I just think it's a design cul-de-sac, and it's going, if they don't reverse course, it's going to end in big tears, this.
Okay.
We already had that for, I reckon it was €4.5 billion, the cost of the disruption in Spain and Portugal.
All right.
€4.5 billion. That's a whole day's GDP of Spain.
Okay. All right, so Julian, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
Let's hear from Manx Utilities now. They say there's no need to worry about the Isle of Man's power supply, despite those big power cuts in Spain and Portugal. It says that the Isle of Man setup, both using the Paul Rose power station and the UK interconnector, keeps things resilient. The fault in the European grid's believed to have been caused by problems, not a cyber attack, although the risk is real, although they're not. They haven't closed the cyber attack door, but they don't think it was a cyber attack. From Manx Utilities, here's the exec director, Adrian Dobbins, and plant engineering manager, Mike Newby.
These grids are designed to be stable and have got lots of protection built into them for what the engineers feel is credible events. And if something which is very uncommon occurs, they may not have been able to engineer that into the system.
One of the bits of speculation, of course, is that this is some kind of cyber attack from Russia or China or whichever of the many states that people might be thinking about. What reassurance can you give us about the Manx network?
You know, you have to take into account that that's a possibility. I would say on the Manx grid, that's hopefully a very low possibility. We keep our SCADA systems, the systems that control our grid, very separate from anything that even approaches the internet. So cyber security is really important. We drill that into our staff. We've got all the systems in place to maintain cyber security. So hopefully the probability of such, you know, a malicious attack like that is going to have little impact on our grid.
There is always going to be a risk, isn't there, that someone doesn't follow a procedure or something happens.
You're absolutely right. which is why we're always doing cyber training. We're always maintaining the message to people about what to do, how to deal with malware and not to open spurious emails, all of those sorts of things.
Crikey, is it down to that, not opening spurious emails? Well, that's the future anyway. There are millions of birds killed every year at game shoots. Millions of pigeons are culled by farmers not to to protect crops, not to mention the millions that are killed by cats and foxes. So birds, we're talking about this pressure group for Care Vi, saying that that a French company has been fined a fortune for, well, it's a fortune to us, it's nothing to them, it's probably 20 minutes back pocket stuff, for killing bats and birds in France. So I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding this. We maybe will come to that Care Vi protest later on, but the electricity thing is really important, isn't it? According to the last census, 50% of the island man population is English, so it's no wonder that Manxness has been diluted when you think that senior civil service is mostly staffed by English people. Well, we don't know, do we? We don't know. They never issue any sort of list of who is and who's what. You'll see how this is going to be eroded further by those whose viewpoint is almost exclusively UK-centric, coupled with successive supine Manx governments. Texter 475.
Discover the work of the man who could paint the wind at the world's largest exhibition of works by Archibald Knox, right here on display at the Manx Museum. Featuring exquisite jewellery, pewterware, paintings, manuscripts and furniture from collections across the British Isles. Visit Knox Order and Beauty every day from 9:30 till 4:30 at the Manx Museum. Discover more Knox-themed events at manxnationalheritage.im.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Don't miss the Kane & Wicker furniture range in-store at Millichaps of Ramsey. Includes sofas, chairs and swivel rocker chairs, dining sets and coffee tables, with designs featuring quality frames, beautiful fabrics including Laura Ashley designs, and comfortable fully sprung seats with leather bindings. Plus, we have special offer suites and a huge range of window blinds to complement. Discover exclusive Kane & Wicker furniture in-store now at Millichaps of Ramsey.
Yes, this is the week to put on your very best smile. Smash that song, perfect that poem, and come to the Villa Marina, the home of the Manx Music, Speech and Dance Festival. There from now until Saturday, May the 3rd. Can't get to the Villa? We've got you covered. Follow the Guild right here on Manx Radio with daily breakfast reports, a highlights programme every evening at 9, plus videos and podcasts at manxradio.com. Your complete Manx Music Festival station.
Smile, darn you, smile!
Manx Radio's coverage of the Manx Music Festival is brought to you with Spectrum Windows.
The man in line with Andy Wint.
Regarding, this is Pete on 722, regarding the memorandum, that memorandum, it was the Liverpool Council who banned freight loading at our terminal in Liverpool. So what the earth is going on? Well, I think also that the, I mean, next to our terminal, there's some terribly posh flats, aren't there? Do you think they'd want lorries clanking about there in the middle of the night? I'm not just saying, I mean, maybe it was a kind of condition of us going there. How come things posted in brown envelopes get you the next day, but your wage slip takes an entire month to arrive, says Rich? I don't know, Rich. Is that your name or your status? Just on what Howard said, I think he's confusing governance with government. Governance is about checks and balances to ensure that we're doing the right thing. And there's accountability. We definitely need more of that. Government's completely different. If we can learn lessons from Liverpool and do things better, well, that would be a good thing, says Stevie. I can't believe the tinfoil hat-wearing brigade are allowed to air their unsubstantiated maniacal claims and scare tactics. Unbelievable. Gary and Will, that is, 185. Thank you. I don't know whether you've listened before, but Man in Line's an opinion programme, and these are people's opinions. You may like them, you may loathe them, you may ridicule them, you may agree with them. They are opinions, and yours is welcome. You can call if you want as well, 185. Let's hear what you have to say. My take on the Spanish failure is this kind of failure is indicative of a sudden unplanned loss of generation capacity such that the remaining systems can't supply, which then leads to frequency to drop to below a predetermined level. I think it's 50 hertz, isn't it, normally? That usually initiates a controlled disconnection of a load to protect the remaining generation equipment. Safety valve, as it were. If it remains unchecked, the whole network becomes unstable and shuts down for self-preservation. It looks like something went wrong in the Iberian network and there was too great a delay to shed the load. The UK had a close call in 2019 when a gas-fired power station disconnected and an offshore wind farm went within a minute of each other. Similarly, cascading outages occurred in the USA and Canada in 2003 and elsewhere, such as in Pakistan a number of times. Not a cyber attack, says Robert. More likely due to the multitude of different supply chains with little redundancy in each. It only takes several failings. It's like a Swiss cheese model, just my thoughts. I monitor our house in Cordoba in Spain on an app. The power went off at 25 to 1 p.m. and back on at 3:30 a.m. the following day. Well, this is a new territory, isn't it, for all of us? I mean, not that it's happened here, although, I mean, crikey, it's only 30 years ago when we had the old Paul Rose diesel power station. When, do you remember when it used to take 3 hours to cook a Sunday joint? Because everybody was switching on at the same time. And we did used to have Sunday night power cuts. Come on. That was only 30 years ago. We've been used to stable power for a long time with the new power station, but we have lived through it. Here's Diane now. Hi, Diane.
Hello, Andy. Hope you're well.
Very well, thanks.
Yeah. I'd like to support Juan in this business. I think the correct words are geoengineering.
Oh, right, yeah.
They've been going for years and years. I've seen them long before I moved to the Isle of Man, and that was in 2007. And I've seen them every year here. Now, one of the things about these geoengineering things they're trying to do is there's aluminium in there. And it was discovered, and I don't know whether they didn't say it was here, but that it was killing bees. When they collected the dead bees up and examined them, they found their bodies were full of small, minute pieces, I suppose, of aluminium, and had given the bees Alzheimer's disease.
Oh,
so
my
the bees.
Word.
Yes.
Well, if the bees are in trouble, we're all in trouble, Diane.
Well, that's right, because once they go, we go, don't we?
You bet.
And, you know, I don't have any bees now come in the garden. It used to be buzzing out there when I first moved over here, but now it's just silent. And not only that, it's years ago, I think when, forget his name now, it's just gone out of my head, Talking Heads was on. That was before you, wasn't
yeah.
it? He's now MHK now.
Oh, crikey, yeah.
Yes. And there was somebody came over to talk to Tynwald or the MHKs about geoengineering, and he actually came on to Manx Radio as well.
What's this geoengineering supposed to be doing, Diane? What's the intention?
Well, in one hand, it's blocking the sun, and in the second hand, they're wasting money on all these stupid, what they call these panels, solar panels.
Solar panels, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and not only that, they're using people's pension pots to pay for them.
Well, the thing is, all those solar panels in Spain, they reckon, is what triggered this power cut in Spain, because there was too much electricity.
Well, I know because I had a letter, I read it out on here on Manx Radio, from, could I get a pension from Bath and North East Somerset from when I worked in the residential home for 25 years? And they were taking, didn't ask me, £230 million out of the pension pot to pay for these. And the place called Thurrock, they put all the council money, people's council tax, etc., etc., into these this company with solar panels, and they went into liquidation, and Thurrock went bankrupt.
So where's all this going to end, Diane?
Well, I think you should consult Mr. Schwausch, whatever his name is, the WEF.
Oh, right.
It's all about money.
Well, everything's about money, Diane, isn't it?
Well, maybe, but these people, it's not just ordinary money. They're making billions out of us. And then when they finish with us, they drop us, and we've got to pay the price.
Right.
I wouldn't have any of it.
Okay. All right, Diane, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Yeah. Bye then.
A note in from Desmondo, who says they can't even synchronise the bus with the boat timetable. The partnership with Liverpool will be making financial contributions towards their new train station. Well, we'll find out at some point what's going to happen, won't we? Solar energy is easy to turn off. You just turn the DC isolator to the off position. If you have too much energy, you just switch off an array. It's not rocket science, says 616. You see, things are so simple when you know. Thanks also to... it's 134 again. Specsavers need to open a branch in Mackold. If people think Mackold, Laxey and Lonnon are well kept with no fly tipping and no vandalism and no dilapidated buildings and houses, says D. Well, where's this going to end? What's going to happen? John in Onken tells me a glass spike from the top of one of the promenade lampposts fell and shattered everywhere the other day. Made a real mess. Send us a photo if you ever see anything like that as well. Just in case, oh, you can't kill bats. Where's the next pandemic coming from? Desmond, you're not making sense to me. Put some more words together. The MUIA guy said hopefully several times. He said hopefully. He said the grid system away from the internet, yet emails pose a risk. Not very reassuring, says Gaz. Well, we have to hope, don't we? And part of this is because most people, and I put myself in this, I'm a layperson. I'm not a scientist. I can't understand the laws of physics. They're fairly easy to understand. But we're hoping that clever people are going to take us through this new industrial revolution, this new net zero, take us away from using fossil fuels to using renewables. However, it is hoped that everything works properly. No doubt in the early days, when they were generating electricity, some things went wrong. The Liverpool Council was taken over by the Queen's Commissioners for financial reasons. Ex-mayors are being investigated. What will the Isle of Man learn from that? I'm finding it very hard to contact Manx Care, says Leroy. That's an interesting message, which I'll just get to in a few moments' time, but I just want to talk about Craig Neish. And it is a WhatsApp 648 who tells me, is it really worth going to Craig Neish? It looks to me like it's the least cared for Manx National Heritage Site on the Isle of Man. At £15 for an adult to walk around, I don't think it's good value for money. MNH needs to up their game and improve the visitor experience, giving them more value for money. If they improve the attraction, more people would visit, says WhatsApper 648. I was trying to find out, is there a cafe at Craig Neish now? Because the cafe comes and goes, doesn't it? Is it open now? This message regarding doctor's appointments. Impossible to get, says James. You have, say, a chest infection. You get an appointment 4 or 6 weeks in the future. By that time, the chest infection's cleared up. And they wonder why there are so many missed appointments. Which idiot came up with, this is James's words, which idiot came up with that system? Like your other contributors, go into a surgery, you find the surgery is empty. That's Oncombe Village Walk to add to your long list. The whole system needs an overhaul. I'm sick and tired of hearing COVID being blamed. Somebody needs to look at what's going on in every single surgery. Well, remember, the GPs don't work for Manx Care. They get paid by Manx Care, but they don't work for Manx Care. Oh, and this is regarding the birds and the bats and what have you. According to the USA government and the American Bird Conservancy, birds are 2,000 times more likely to be killed by flying into glass windows and buildings than they are from turbine blades. 500 million birds a year die from hitting buildings in America, and 250,000 from wind turbines slicing them in two. So the risk is a fraction of the total number killed. And the US Bird Association actually approve of wind turbines, because they cut down on CO2 and pollutions, which they say can kill more than wind turbines ever will. So people should check their facts first and put things into perspective before worrying about wind turbines killing birds. You'd have to fit a machine gun to every blade to match those figures. That's it for today. Back tomorrow for Thursday's Open Line. Remember, on Friday, the MHK, the minister, the chief minister, who is back as a Castletown commissioner, Tony Brown, is on Man and Line this coming Friday. The answer phone's on now, 682-631, if you want to get a question in. And thanks to Howie on the phones. What a gorgeous day. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.